How's the week been? We're talking about fearless, and I just want to reset what we've learned already. First of all, when we talk about being fearless, we're not talking about not having the feeling of fear. We're talking about maybe we do have those feelings, but what do we act on? Do we act fearless? And so we started with the fact that usually we try to act fearless. We try to present ourselves that way and act that way because, and we say two things. One, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of here. There's really nothing to be afraid of here. And with the virus and what we've been working through, I bet many of you at some point said it's not that big a deal. They're making too big a deal out of it. But as it's really grown, you're like, whoa, that's not actually true. That's not really a good way to deal with fear. The second thing is, I'm strong enough. I can handle this. I can take care of this. And even that, many of us have probably approached what we're facing that way. Like, we're gonna be fine because I'm strong enough. We can take this. As a matter of fact, you hear people say it a lot, right? You hear people say it a lot. We are America. We're gonna get through this. We're all together. We're gonna get there. We're gonna go. Away we go. That, if it gets bad enough, that's not really true. And so we can, those don't work. They leave us with fear. But what we did discover was this. We can leave fear, the acting on fear, behind. We know two things. One, God is for us, and he's bigger than this. And he is bigger than this. One of the core pieces that we've worked through is that, wait a minute, I don't have to fear death. Why not? Because I don't actually die. My body dies, but I'm going to heaven. It's not a tragedy if I were to die, because actually I'm going to be in God's presence. That's no small thing. That's a big deal. We also, last week, took a next step, which is that in the midst of horrible circumstances, in the midst of things going wrong, God has made us a promise that he will turn everything toward good. He will use everything to make us like him. And why is that a big deal? Because in our lives, we want to be incredible husbands. We want to be amazing wives. We want to be inspired, helpful, courageous parents. We want to be coworkers that, if I give my life to something, I give my life to a career, that it makes a difference in people's lives. And for all of those things, we don't actually need our circumstances to change. We need to have faith and love and gentleness and power and strength and, most of all, self-control. Where does that come from? Well, that comes from being like Christ. That's what Christ is building into us. That's what he is doing in us. And so instead of being afraid of any situation, we go into any situation, we're like, there's one thing I know for sure. In this situation, God is going to turn it for my good. He is going to use it to help me to be like him. The core passage that we started with was, as we jump into our notes today, I'd encourage you, you can download the notes from the email, the program that we sent you as well. The passage that we started with is this: there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. That's the phrase we're going to be after today. We're going to be like, what does that mean? How does that work? That's what we need. How do we get that? How do we practice that? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So what did we learn? We can put fear in its place. In other words, we can move it to where it is. It's just a feeling. It's not something that controls us. We can also, after we put fear in its place, there's another step that we can take. We can live without fear shaping us. It doesn't have to be what rules our life. It doesn't have to be how we make our decisions. It doesn't have to be who we check in first before we do anything else. It doesn't have to be the nagging thing that's constantly a voice in the back of our head. It's strengthened by our experience of God's power as we follow in faith. other words, we see God at work when we trust God. When we realize, wait a minute, I'm not physical first. My life's not all about the physical. I'm actually spiritual. And so I'm going to relate to God by faith. And lastly, it's reinforced as we experience the way in which God uses every single thing in our lives for our best, to bring us closer to Him, to make us like Christ, and to explode in our lives the fruit of God's Spirit. Now, those are amazing things. And it's, you grab a hold of those things, and it will move you from fearful to fearless pretty a long ways. But there's one last piece. There's just the piece today is it's called the twist. It's like there's something that you know about, you've heard about, but you didn't realize this is the way it worked. And for many of you, this is going to be a life-changing. If you take this step, it will dramatically change who you are. There are times in our lives where we take a step or we take a turn, and once we take that turn, we can never go back. Sometimes that's not good. We take turns that send us down the wrong road. That's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a turn. That once you take this turn, you're like, I'm never going back. For many of us, you are experiencing God's love. You're interacting with God's love, but you're still afraid. It still rules your life. And even though you may take moments where you're like, oh, I've made some progress here, it's like step forward, step back, step forward, step back. So as we grab a hold of what we're going to talk about today, as we jump into this today, this one is one where you will step forward and just keep moving if you make this, if you grab a hold of what God has to say to you today. So let's jump in and work our way through it, and here we go. When you've experienced, the passages in 1 John, we're going to work all the way down through this passage, and I'm going to move up fairly quickly as we work through it, and then we're going to hit this spot. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Now, this passage is about us loving each other. That's what this is about. Let us love one another. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's that connection with God. So when we've experienced God's love, we love. When you take in what God has for you, the whole reason for Skyline is so you could experience God's love. We want you to be able to meet Christ and be able to experience His love. And when you do, you love people. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Not our life, it's His life. We live our life through Christ. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God's love doesn't start with us. What's amazing is God's love is actually a one-way street. God didn't wait for you to love Him or reach out to Him or even think about Him. While you were still His enemy, while you were on your own doing your own thing, He loved us and gave Himself as an atoning sacrifice. You see, love didn't originate with us. It originated with Him. It always does. In our relationship with God, in everything we do with God, He loves us first. We're responding to His love. He loves. Whether we love back or not, He loves. And then He invites us to respond to that love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There it is, that love one another piece. Since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. Now listen to this. and his love is made complete in us. Whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute. I thought God was the end of all ends. Like he's completely, and he is. But he says something here that ought to take you back a little bit, which is when we do this, we complete God's love. In other words, when we take in God's love and we give it to someone else, when it becomes us and we give ourselves to someone else, it completes God's love. Now, Jesus has been trying to teach this. He tried to teach this as he was here. He did teach this while he was here. He said it in a number of different ways. And we like the saying, but this is way more than a Hallmark card saying. He says, it's better to give than to receive. Don't you love that idea? Haven't you said that to yourself before? And if somebody asks you, hey, listen, do you love to give more than you love to receive? And you think about Christmas time and you're like, oh, I really do. I love to give presents more than I like to give them. In your marriage, do you love to give more than you receive? You see, if you believe this is true, and you have a lousy spouse, you're set. Why? Because you get to keep giving, and you're not going to get much back. At work, you have that boss you cannot stand, or that coworker that drives you crazy. Do you actually really believe it's better than to give to receive? Because if you have that situation, you're in a great spot, because you get to go to work every day and give and give and give, and you're not getting anything back. He also said it's better to love than to be loved. He said, another way he said it was, I didn't come to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. The reason I am here is not to get, but to give. He calls this completed love. This is when love becomes complete, is when I'm going to love the way that God loves me. The fullness of, completion of, perfection of God's love is when we give it to someone else. The fullness of, completion of, perfection of God's love is when we give it to someone else. We know that we live in Him and He in us. It's not my life anymore, it's His life. He lives in me. Because He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. In other words, we've experienced Christ and His love and His Spirit. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Now, a number of you have tuned in, and we're just so grateful that you're here, and you're checking all this out. And you're like, oh, I acknowledge God. Maybe somebody would ask you, do you believe in Jesus? And you're like, oh, yeah, I've believed in Jesus ever since I was little. You've either heard of Jesus or you grew up hearing of Jesus and your family believed in Jesus. And so you believe in Jesus and you believe He actually is the Son of God. And so you think that's what it means to acknowledge. No, no. To acknowledge is to live as though it were true. If Jesus is the Son of God, then He's the one I would trust with my whole life. He's the one I would trust with the way I talk. He's the one I would trust with who I would marry. He's the one I would trust with everything in my life. But at the core of this is what we've been kind of talking about all day, which is He's the one I would trust to forgive me of my sin and make me a new person. He says anybody who does that has become part of God, and God's become part of him. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete. There it is again. There it is again. It's as if love is there, but it's not complete until this next thing happens. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Now listen to this. So we will have confidence. That's what we're after, right? I mean, confidence is the opposite of fear. to know that I'm in a good place and I'm headed to a good place, that I don't have to fear what's going to happen. I have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. This isn't confidence gained by works. What's works? What's that mean? Well, oftentimes I'll ask people, hey, is God 100% pleased with you? And they'll be like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, okay, if you're not sure, what percentage do you think he is pleased with you? And they'll think about it, and they'll think like, okay, I read the Bible here, and I was nice to somebody here, and I helped the lady across the street there. Oh, yeah, but I was really selfish here, and the way I talked to my kids or my wife, the way I talked to my mom, I was not so good. And they measure it all out. They weigh it all out, and they're like, okay, I'm going to give it a 55%. Usually people like the 50, 55% because they're like, I'm half and half, somewhere around here. Sometimes they'll go to 60%. And what they're doing is they're measuring their works. And they have confidence before God that God's pleased with them. They have confidence because their works, because they're doing pretty well or not doing so well. This confidence here has nothing to do with that. Matter of fact, if that's where your confidence is, you should be scared to death. Because God said, Jesus said, that no one comes to the Father, but by him. You don't get there by how well you do. No. This confidence is gained by experiencing the completion of God's love. This confidence is gained by experiencing God's love being perfected in and through you. It's when you experience this happen. It's when you not only know about it, but you do it. You experience it. You're involved in it. Now, let's go back to our main passage and see what he's trying to say here. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. When you hear that, what do you think? I know what I've always thought. I've always thought if I could just accept God's perfect love, if I could get everything out of the way and just soak in God's perfect love, I wouldn't be afraid. If I read my Bible and I believed everything in the Bible, I wouldn't be afraid. I would have confidence. I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is great. It's good. I just need to know God. I bet you've done that. I bet there's many times in your life, I would guess that there are many of you, you're right in the middle of that right now. You're like, listen, I'm going to tune in to what God has to say. Because I need to know his perfect love. And if I know that, I'll be okay. It says perfect love drives out fear. I don't think that's what it is. Because fear has to do with punishment. In other words, as long as you know God is with you, punishment's not coming, you don't have to be afraid. As long as you know that God is the biggest one in the room and he's with you, you don't have to be afraid of punishment. We've already walked through that. You don't even have to be afraid of consequences because he's on your side. He's bigger. He can overcome that. We even talked about, you don't even have to be afraid of the circumstances going bad because he will turn them for good. And that's awesome. But how do you have confidence that for sure? Like, how do you know that? How do you experience it in a way that you're like, yes, I can trust that? The one who fears is not made perfect in love. But let me ask you this. What's this love he's been talking about the whole time? What's this love he's been talking about the whole time? Has he been trying to get you to secure a relationship with him? Is that what this passage is about? Actually, in chapter 1 he does. Some of chapter 2 he does. But chapter 4 is about us loving each other. You see, the perfect love that casts out fear is not the love we receive. It's the love we give. See, he kept saying it. When you love one another, then God's love is perfected. It's completed. It's done. I'm going to say it again. God's love is that has been perfected. God's love that has been perfected by you giving it away. The perfect love that casts out fear is not love we receive, it's the love that we give. Let me say it another way. You won't be free of fear until you choose to love others the way He's loved you. You won't be free of fear until you choose to love others the way that He has loved you. No, let me show you an illustration about something else that works this way, and maybe it'll click for you and help you be able to grab a hold of it. So any of you who have done anything with construction or build anything, most of us can handle wood. We can handle wood because wood is pretty simple. Like you take two pieces of wood, you put a nail through them, and those two pieces of wood hold together. And you can eventually build a structure. And even better is a screw. Screws hold it even stronger. You take your drill, you drill it in, it holds together, it holds. Almost anyone can do it. But have you ever tried to get two pieces of metal together? So metal is much different. The screw does work if you have a small enough piece or you have amazing equipment. But if you don't have that, what you have to do is weld it. And welding is the best way to get two pieces of metal to stay together forever. But to weld, you got to take a class to take a weld. To weld, you don't just watch somebody weld and go, yeah, I think I can do that. And you have to have this machine that hums really loud, and it has these cords that come out, and it has a special thing on it that sticks together. And you have to have this really cool helmet that you wear around, and you learn how to tap your head like that. And the helmet comes down. You look like you're from Star Wars, right? And then when they go to weld, when they actually weld, if you don't have one of these helmets, you're not supposed to watch it. The light is so bright, and when they go to weld, it goes, it explodes. And there's this fire and these sparks that are going all over the place. And then when they get done, they're like, wow, he welded them together. It's amazing. Now, I don't want to pretend that this is as good as a weld for those of you who are actually welders. But there is something called JB Weld. And it's for light metal and that kinds of things. And here's the idea. It's got two tubes. It's an epoxy. An epoxy is when you have two different chemicals or two different things, and by themselves, they won't really stick anything together. If you take this tube and you put it on the metal and you put it together, and it's just going to come off. But if you take these two, same with this, you take these two, you just pour it in the thing, you put it on the metal, and you put those two pieces of metal together, in about 6 minutes, you can't move them. Now, the advertisement says it holds 3,000 pounds. I'm not sure that's actually true. But what happens is the two apart are not nearly as powerful as what happens when you put them together. Something amazing happens. It completes, it perfects, it becomes what it should be. I don't know when we're going to be able to get to back together, but when we do, you're going to get a chance to see the chapel. It's really close to done now, and I'm sure it'll be done by the time we all get back together. But the bottom basement floor is done, and we put an epoxy floor on there. And that is a couple gallons of one chemical, a couple gallons of another chemical. And apart from each other, if you put them on the floor, it's going to be sticky, gooey, and not so great. But when you put these together and then you put them on the floor, what you get done is this super smooth, glassy, beautiful floor. It only happens because you put those two together. That's what we're talking about here. Yes, God's love is amazing. It's life-changing. It's incredible. But what builds confidence to know that you are forgiven is when you take that love and you love others the way He loves you. What builds confidence to know that He is with you and He's bigger than any of the circumstances around you is not just when you accept God's love, but when you take that love and you love other people the way He loves you, then you see God overcome things you think were impossible. You actually see Him do miracles that you just think you didn't think could happen. On any given baptism Sunday, if you come and you listen to the stories and you knew the person before he came to Christ, any of those people that are in that room that loved that person the way that God loved them and they prayed for him, never really thinking, I don't think this guy's the last guy in the world that's going to change. But then you kept loving them, and they didn't love you back, but you kept loving them. And then you saw God work in that guy's life. You're like, whoa, God is so powerful. How do you experience that? When you accept God's love and you give it away to others. The perfect love that drives out fear is not just an experienced love, it's a demonstrated love. In Lori and I's life, We've watched God do amazing things and turn that which we thought was terrible for good. There's two major areas where God's done this. I shouldn't say that. There's just story upon story where I've watched God do this in our lives. But as we've watched Him do that in our marriage, we celebrated this week, we celebrated 41 years. It's so fun. Once you get past 40, you tell people how long you've been married, and you say 40 years. They're like, oh, how could that be? That's awesome. They like to ask you these questions, like, how did you do it? How did you do it? And, you know, you hear people on TV, like, I did it. The secret is this, as if it's one thing. It's more than one thing. But this is what we've watched happen. See, in our lives, there have been periods of time where I've accepted God's love and I've loved Lori when she didn't love me back. And I have experienced what it's like to go, I don't think she's ever going to love me back. Am I going to have to do this the rest of my life? And God go, what if you do? That's what I've called you to. And then I've watched Him change me. I've watched that circumstance and be like, this is terrible. And I've watched Him change me through that circumstance. Lori can tell these same stories. How throughout our marriage, there's been many, many times where she's had to follow me doing sometimes crazy things, sometimes not wise things at all. Or times when she's poured into my life and loved me when she's not getting any love back. And you're like, can she live like that? On top of the pain she's in with the arthritis. And God is worked in her life. He's changed her. So that when we get to this place in our life, we're not just married 41 years. Like, we are growing in our marriage. We are more in love than ever, and we're growing in that love. How does that happen? Well, that's love being perfected. That's us accepting God's love and then passing it on to each other. We love because He first loved us. It's a one-way street. So, here's my question for you this morning. You've been introduced to the love of God. Maybe you have accepted His grace and you know you're forgiven. And you know He's going to take you to heaven. You're so grateful for that. And everything we've talked about up to this point, you're like, I got it. And it's really encouraged you. But you've always lived your life that it's your life. You've always lived your life that you need God's love and you need a relationship with God. And God is all that you need. And so you're just going to try to keep growing in that relationship. But you've hit a wall. There's still fear in your life. You hear these things about God and you're grateful for them, but you have to believe them because others have told you about them, not because you've experienced it. How do you experience these things? You experience these things when you say, all right, God, I get the purpose of my life. The purpose of my life is you want to perfect your love in and through me. You want me. The whole reason I'm on earth has nothing to do with me. It has to do with giving this love away. So let's back up. We started with this idea that many times the way we try to get rid of fear is if we can get rid of painlessness and we can be safe. Let's build something where I can be safe and secure and eliminate pain. Let's build a life where I build a circumstance around me where my life is good and takes care of me. And what do we say? That's a scary life. Why? You can lose it at any moment. There's nothing on this earth, there's nothing you can build physically that you can't lose. Really, in a given moment, we're watching that happen all around us. So, in your life, first of all, who has God asked you to love? If you're married, it's your spouse. And God has asked you to love them without them loving you back. In your life, are you so busy running from pain, making sure you don't get in a situation where you have pain? Are you so busy trying to build safety into your life that even though you're really enjoying the love of God, you're not actually loving other people the way he loves you? You love people based on how it kind of fits into your life. Or you're in a bad situation, you're in a bad circumstance, and your whole focus is, I got to get out of this. I got to get out of this first circumstance. I got to get out of this. When in fact, right in that circumstance, God is calling on you to love people the way he loves you. For many of you, this is how you interact with church. You interact with the body of Christ, the people at church, and your community based on how it impacts your life. And so you come to get what you need, and when you don't get what you need, you move to the next church. Or you come to get what you need, and when you get what you need, you're happy and you're good, then you're off your way. But there's this group of people. There's a lot of them throughout Skyline, but there's a specific group of people that work in Sky Kids. Now, if you work in Sky Kids, especially at Skyline where we don't have enough space for the kids, it's quite the job. They go in and they love kids who don't necessarily love them back. Yeah, they have highlights from time to time, but they go in and love kids who don't necessarily love them back. There are some of these folks that are loving kids that don't love them back who are involved in other ministries where they're pouring into people's lives who don't necessarily love them back. Now, I hear this term from time to time. It's called burnout. But you know what? These people aren't burning out. They're building up. You know why they're building up? Because they're experiencing the perfected love of God in their life. What they're experiencing is that their marriages are growing. What they're experiencing is that even though their bodies are tired, their spirit is expanding. What they're experiencing is that even though the circumstances haven't gotten better, they're watching God change them and grow them. And the best place that happens is when they love other people, when they pour their life into other people. Who is God calling you to love? going to pray in just a minute. There's one last piece to this that I want to make sure you grab. It's that last thing, we love because God loved us. In any and all of your relationships, we don't love because they're going to love us back. We don't trust because we know that they're trustworthy and we can trust them. We don't love them because we know we can trust them. We don't love because we know they're going to appreciate it and give back. We don't love because we know that in 2 years or 3 years, it's going to be good for us and we're going to reap great benefits from it. We love because God loves us. That's how you love the way that God loves you. I'm going to ask you again. Who has God asked you to love and you're afraid to love them? And you think, I need to get rid of this fear. How do I get rid of this fear? Well, I just need to accept God's love. I need to interact with God's love. If I got that, then I'll be able to love that person. When the truth is, God is asking you to take a step of faith. He is asking you to love them because He loves you. He's asking you to love them while you still feel fear, but you're going to trust His word and His promise. You still feel fear, but you're going to step out knowing that He has promised to perfect His love through you. These people are courageous, fearless people. And God is inviting you to be fearless with Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for this amazing truth. I want to thank You that every person who's ever made this choice, who's ever turned this corner, who's ever decided, you know what, my life is not about me, and it's not even about God loving me. My entire life is about being loved and then giving it away to other people. That's the purpose of my life. That's what I'm here for. That's who I am. And so the tougher the circumstances, the greater the opportunity. That's who I am, and that's who God is. So the more I do it, the more my confidence in God's perfect love grows. Literally, fear is driven out of my life. God, I pray for the people who are interacting with You right now. Just be crystal clear about who You're calling them to love. Folks, if you're listening, I ask that you make a commitment right now. That you say yes to God. I do accept Your love, and yes, I'm going to go love this person, even though I'm scared to death, because I trust You, and I trust Your love. In Your name we pray.